Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
He spent 4 months in solitary confinement, and that is an unbelievable experience that John Strand will share with us solely because of January 6th. We're going to be talking to a very special guest today. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, and our guest is John Strand. Back again, John, for a third part on this riveting story. Frankly, it's a blood-curdling story about what happened to you and so many others on January 6th. We're now up to the point where you are incarcerated into prison, and you are sentenced to about 3 years in prison for just being in the Capitol. And now you're explaining your time in prison. Take us where you left off last time. Now you're in prison, and how did you get into solitary confinement? And tell us about what that was. How did it feel?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Matt and Holly, for having me back. And like I mentioned, prison in general is absolutely terrible. It's truly a miserable environment. And the staff, the policies, the entire situation really is designed to degrade human dignity. So from the first moment you walk in the doors, you are subhumanized. And with every hour and day that passes, that takes an increasing toll on your soul and your spirit and your body and your mind. And you are being ground down in myriad of ways. It's dark, it's dirty, it's depressing, it's absolutely destructive. It's fraught with illicit drugs, which are trafficked by prisoners and guards alike. It is really a factory that is producing criminality. I actually have a lot more to say about the prison system in general. But I was abused further in prison because I was a January 6th hostage and that I would refuse to remain silent. I continued to speak out about the fraud of January 6th, not even about the prison system, about January 6th more broadly. And yet they wanted to silence me. I actually have prison paperwork with acknowledgement that it was the FBI and the AUSA, the Assistant U.S. Attorney, which is the prosecutor that lied about me at trial, which I have documented, fraudulently put me in prison, and then put his thumb on the scale and reached down through the BOP to make sure that I was further abused and put in solitary and kept there indefinitely. So in solitary confinement, even according to BOP regulations, their rules say you're not supposed to leave someone in there indefinitely. And if they're in solitary for a specific reason, even in those circumstances, they're to be given a phone call at least once every 7 days, along with medical services and et cetera. I was denied all of this. I was denied any phone call. I have lawyers that have scheduled visits trying to come and deal with. Remember, I have a live appeal. I did not plead guilty. I protested my innocence, scheduled attorney visits, which the government is never allowed to obstruct these. And they blocked my attorneys multiple times.
And you had no communication with anyone on the outside?
Phone call. So when you're in prison in general, calls with your, of course, your family and your attorneys are critical. When you are in isolation, cut off from everything, you're in a concrete shoebox and you feel like you've been dropped to the bottom of the ocean. You panic, you become anxious, and you feel you're going to die. It's a psychological reaction you can't really avoid. And after about 3 days of this treatment, you are terrified and you would scratch your own eyes out to get that phone call. I was denied that phone call after the first week. Then after the second week, I was denied the phone call and I still didn't have an explanation for why I was in this hell on earth. It stretched out to 4 months. Amnesty International and Geneva Conventions classify anything beyond 14 days of isolation as torture. So this was torture times five. I don't even know how I survived, honestly, except for the grace of God, the faith that I have in Jesus that always sustains me and gives me the confidence to believe that God is stronger than any human problem or any human evil force.
So, John, while you're in this concrete box. How big is this box? Is there a window? Can you see sunlight? What do you see, or can you see anything?
You can see very little. It's roughly 10 by 15 concrete. There's supposed to be a window. Often it's barely a sliver, but there's usually one small window. Sometimes you'll have daylight, and you're supposed to have an hour every day of recreation, which people misthink, oh, at least 1 hour a day, you go outside and stand in the grass. No, supposedly for 1 hour a day, they put you in a different room in the solitary unit where you can maybe see a piece of the sky, but you're not outside, you're still in the building. And they didn't even follow that rule half the time. So I was locked up in a concrete shoebox about 164 hours a week.
Wow.
I would say, you know, if it hadn't been for your faith in Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be talking to you today.
I don't see how you psychologically, I mean,
it's a nightmare just listening to you.
That's a psychological torture. And to come through that, yes, your faith in Jesus Christ brought you through that. 4 months, it's hard to imagine that. And they don't even do that to some hardened criminal that is some mass murderer.
Correct. Right. I mean, they should not be doing that to anyone.
No,
it's absolutely inhuman. It serves no legitimate purpose. It's destructive to the human soul. And it's just evil. That's what it is. It is evil behavior.
So when you came out of that 4 months, I can't even imagine the psychological trauma. How did you deal with that?
I dealt with it primarily through prayer, to be honest with you. I prayed a lot. There's not much else you can do in isolation. But I mean, I prayed with so much anguish when I was hyperventilating because the screams would never stop during the day. This particular unit was a terrible facility known for incredibly violent and degrading inmate behavior. And they were constantly screaming. I couldn't see anyone, but I could hear the screams reverberating. The concrete and metal made it even louder, and it sort of sickened your stomach and your soul. And I couldn't escape it. So I prayed desperately. I got a hold of a Bible and I read that. And I just begged God to save me, protect me from this anguish, to help me to understand why he was allowing me to experience this much pain and suffering for this long, and when it would end and how it would end, and if I would ever get my life back, and if I would ever be able to put the pieces back together of this 4 years of hell with January 6th, you know, ending.
Is there a cot in there? I mean, what does this place look like? Is there a cot? Is there
There's a metal bunk bolted to the wall. There is a metal toilet with a metal sink above the toilet, and a metal shelf with a stool, and that's it. So there's almost nothing in there.
Wow. Well, praise God, you're out now, and I imagine that you are more motivated than ever to use your voice to activate people to also stand up for their religious freedom and others in this country.
Boy, is that the truth. I am so excited, so grateful that God has protected me, that he's blessed me, and that he has saved me and released me and given me the opportunity to speak, to share, to lead our nation in what I love to call a red pill revolution. I'm really excited about that, and specifically to call for raising up of the remnant at this time, which is that small percentage of citizens, of patriots who believe in their country, who believe in their God-given freedoms and liberties, and who are willing to take what I call uncomfortable courage, standing up for what's right, even at the times when you are persecuted for it, when the government says it's not okay and they'll punish you for it. And yet we must remain true to what we know God has called us to.
And we go back to the very beginning here too. January 6th, you didn't do anything wrong, number one. No. You didn't commit any violence. You didn't encounter any law enforcement that said you need to be out of here. You didn't resist when they said leave, because they never told you to leave. You didn't do anything. And then they charged you with this Sarbanes-Oxley Act that has nothing to do with any of this. But they charge people because it has a 20-year prison sentence.
That's right.
And they use that against you and others to say, you face 20 years in prison, you're going to prison for the rest of your life. But if you plead to some other lower offense, we'll waive that. You'll still have to be a criminal. You'll still have to go to prison, but you won't have to face 20 years in prison. Well, fortunately, the U.S. Supreme Court, in the case of Fisher versus United States, ruled that the Sarbanes-Oxley Act does not and cannot be applied to these J-6ers, and as a result, you were released. from prison after your second motion for release pending appeal. It was finally granted on July 24, 2024. And John, you have now written a book called Patriot Plea, and people can get that on your website, johnstrand.com. That's johnstrand.com, where not only you have the book Patriot Plea, but you also have the video of that day.
That's right.
And John, thank you so much for standing up, for being a voice. Absolutely. I think now we have an amazing, incredible opportunity to have all the J6ers like yourself that did not do any violence, like yourself, to be pardoned by President Donald Trump. And we pray that that, in yes. fact, happens.
Yes.
And that your experience, what was meant for evil, will ultimately turn out for good.
Yes. That's right. And I would also urge people to visit wearej6.com.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, John, for being our guest. For more information, johnstrand.com. And you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.